Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2, configuring JMS for receivers and destinations. Today's presenter is Max Tripolilli. Max is an advisory software engineer who joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 2 team about 6 years ago. He works closely with customers and development to drive the WebSphere Partner Gateway product to succeed in the marketplace. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Max.
Yes, thank you, Joseph. Okay, so this presentation focuses on the configuration steps necessary to use the JMS transport with WebSphere Partner Gateway. 6.0. So we will see how to create queue connection factories and queue definitions for receivers and destination using both WAS and JMS admin. At the end, we will go through some labs showing the configuration setup necessary to run test transactions using the JMS protocol definitions configured for the WPG elements. Let's go to slide number 2. And this is the table of contents, which it is good to take a look at because it summarized the items of the presentation. We'll be starting with specific information about how to use the JMS transport within WPG. Next comes the queue creation, which is a common task, whether you want to proceed with configuring JMS using the WAS interface or JMS admin. Then we'll go into the specifics concerning the different methods that we can use to create the JMS queue connection factory, the so-called QCF, and the queue definitions for the WPG elements. The WPG configuration will follow, and as a final step for each method, we'll run a test transaction. Go to slide number 3. We perform the JMS integration using the WebSphere message queue, the WMQ product. In order to do that, we need to perform some configuration tasks, like creating the QCFs and the queue definitions, which can be done either via WAS console or JMS admin. As shown at the bottom of this slide, we need access to the WebSphere MQ jars, which can be accomplished by setting the MQ install root environment variable. Let's go to slide 4. This slide shows the options of creating the physical queues in WebSphere MQ using either the run MQ SC command or the MQ Explorer graphical tool. Both methods are valid and reach the same results. Let's go to next slide, slide number 5. This is the first chart dedicated to the section of configuring JMS using the WAS console, which includes the first two tasks of the list shown in the slide itself, that is create the JMS QCF and create the JMS queue definition. The last two tasks, configuring the WPG JMS receiver and destination, are performed in the WPG console. We will see the details of these tasks in the next slides. Let's move on to slide number 6. In order to create the JMS queue connection factory, the QCF, you need to make the resource JMS queue connection factory selection from the WAS console. then, depending on the WPG installed mode, select the appropriate scope. So you'd be selecting the WebSphere MQ messaging provider in the next panel and proceed onto the configuring the required fields, which are shown in details in the next slide. And when you do, when you complete that, then you finally save the changes to the master configuration. So let's go to the next slide, slide number 7. Okay, this slide shows the actual screenshot of what I mentioned earlier. The top left panel shows the selection to be made in the WAS console and the scope needed, depending on whether the WPG is installed in simple or distributed mode. And the bottom left panel shows the selection of WebSphere MQ as the GMS resource provider. And the rightmost panel shows the attribute values to be entered, such as the QCF name, the JNDI name, the QManager, host name, the ports, basically all the elements that will help identify the QManager and MQ as the provider. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 8. Okay, so the next step is to create the GMS queue definitions. So you're going to select the resources, GMS queues, in of course, in the WAS console. And same as we saw earlier, select the scope, which, again, depends on the WPG mode. Then you'll be clicking New and select the WebSphere MQ as the messaging provider, and then configure the required fields for the queues, which we will see in details in the next slide. And after, as we saw before, after entering the values for these attributes, you need to save the changes to the master configuration. So let's go to the next slide, slide number 9. Okay, here are the graphical details for the GMS destination queue, which are shown by the screenshots. The top left panel shows the selection that you're going to be to make in the WAS console and the scope that is needed, which depends, again, on whether WPG is installed in a simple or a distributed mode. The bottom panel shows the selection for WMQ as the messaging provider, and the rightmost panel shows the attribute values to be entered, the destination queue name, GNDI name, the base queue, the queue manager, you know, all the elements necessary for destination queues. And the values are basically, and the important attributes are highlighted in yellow in the chart. Okay, so we can move on to slide number 10. Okay, and here the same configuration we made in for the destination is basically applicable for the receiver as well. So here we see for the GMS receiver what we previously saw for the destination. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 11. Okay, and this is, you know, from the WAS console, you can then make the selection to see a summary of what the configuration looks like. So this is to render a summary of what we did in the previous slides. The top panel shows the newly created QCF, And the bottom panel shows the receiver and the destination queue definitions. Okay, so we can move on to slide number 12. Okay, so when the JMS configuration in WAS is completed, if your WPG is installed in a distributed mode, then you have to restart the Deployment Manager. Okay, so let's move on to slide number 13. Okay, so now that we finished with WAS side, we need to complete the JMS configuration in WPG. So this task implies creating a JMS receiver and a JMS destination. Of course, we will be using the QCF and QObject information that we created in the WAS console as we saw in the previous slides. So we will be referring to those values to create the WPG elements. So let's go on to slide number 14. And to create a JMS destination, you need to provide values, things like the address, which is composed by several sections. The first one is the CorBlock IIoP protocol. The next comes the host name of the machine. And last is the WAS bootstrap port number. And this is information that, of course, you can retrieve from the WAS panel itself. Then the JMS QCF and Q as defined in WAS, and the JNDI factory name used by WebSphere, since we're using WebSphere as a JNDI provider here. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 15. Here are the WPG console screenshots with actual destination configuration values. Marked in yellow are the fields that we discussed in the previous chart. To be noticed, after you save this value, the destination component needs to be restarted for the values to take effect. And WPG actually warns the user about that by that green message that you see on top of the panel. Okay, let's go on to slide number 16. Okay, the same considerations made for the destination are repeated in this slide for the receiver. Of course, there are some slight changes, like the queue name here is different since it needs to reference the specific queue created for the receiver component, whereas we had the queue created for the destination in the previous slide. Okay, let's go to the next slide, slide number 17. This is the screenshot, basically the graphical image of the values entered in the WPG console to define the JMS receiver. And same thing as we saw for the destination, you get that green warning message that will tell you to restart the server when you finish the changes. Okay, so let's move on to slide 18. Now that we have completed the definitions in both WAS and WPG consoles, we're ready to run a test. And in order to do that, we need to complete some artifacts, like create a connection between the two trading partners. In our case, I set up a NAN EDI X12 ISA channel for both directions. Then, of course, you have to select the JMS defined destination for that connection. Then you submit an EDI file in the receiver's JMS queue using the RFetch util tool, for example. Next, we can check the destination queue to verify that the file has actually been delivered. And the WPG console document viewer can also be used to monitor the successful completion of the transaction, which basically involves both elements that we created. We submit a file through the JMS receiver, and then we deliver it through our JMS-defined destination. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 19. And this slide encloses a summary of the test that we ran and described in the previous one. So in the top image is shown the non-EDI X12 ISA connection. The second image shows the JMS destination selection. And the third image shows the RFetch util tool, which, by the way, you can download off of the web. It's a free download. It's an IBM tool, I believe. So you use that tool basically to submit the EDI file to the receiver queue, which is in the left image, as well as the EDI file delivered to the destination queue shown in the right image. So, and the bottom picture shows the WPG console viewer reporting the transaction successful completion. So basically, I put all the screenshots that document the whole setup, so that if you like, you can repeat the same test on your end. And I would definitely recommend to do that, to have all the concept to stick. And basically, with this slide, it concludes the JMS setup when using WAS as the JNDI provider. And starting with the next slide, we'll see that the same process being accomplished using the JMS admin. We can move on to the next slide, slide number 20. Okay, as you can see, the first point in this slide is a warning saying, you know, it is very important that you understand that it is strongly recommended that you use the WAS as your JNDI provider, and that will give you some advantages, like you don't have the dependence on the Sun jars. You can manage everything through the WAS console instead of having the JMS admin, which is a separate tool, basically. Of course, if you have a clustered environment, then you can take advantage of the failover. And if you do use the bindings file, which is the output of the JMS admin tool, then that may, you know, prompt you for securing that the directory where that file is stored. So just to brief summary to remind you that yes, you can do it with both. You can use WAS and you can use the JMS admin, but it is recommended that you do use the WAS configuration. JMS admin is a sort of a legacy tool, but we still have customers using it, so I didn't want to leave it out. Just want to stress the fact that yes, you have both options, but JMS admin is sort of a legacy, whereas WAS console approach is what is recommended. Okay, so going further in the slide, we will be going through the process of using the JMS admin to create the bindings file, which encloses all the necessary information to communicate with WebCRMQ. So once the bindings file is available, we'll reference its location in the file system to configure the WPG receiver and destination. The next slides will provide the configuration details as well as a sample lab like we did for when we did the configuration through WAS, and that will show how this task can be accomplished using the GMS admin tool. Okay, so let's move on to the next slide number 21. Okay. Before starting the GMS admin tool, we need to update a couple of attribute values in the tool configuration file. That is, we have to provide the value for the initial context factory for that attribute, and then assign a path for the provider URL attribute, which holds the file system location where the bindings file is going to be written. After setting the values for these two attributes, you can save the configuration file and start the GMS admin tool. Okay, so let's move on to slide 22. When the GMS admin tool starts, a command line interactive mode is prompted to the user with the intent to provide input for the items that the tool needs, you need to define the GMS context, and then in that context, you need to define the values for the attributes like the QCF, the queue connection factory, the transport being used, the host name where the queue manager resides, port it, listen to the channel type, and of course the queue manager name. Then the queues need to be defined, and again you need to define two, one to be used by the receiver and one by the destination. When all the above is done, the user can exit the GMS admin application find the information being stored in the resulting bindings file, which is created in the file system path specified in the GMS admin configuration file. So let's move to the next slide number 23. Okay, so this slide is again a screenshot of the GMS admin interactive mode that we used to create the binding file for our lab. So I put the actual images of what I did. So again, you can do exactly the same on your end and go through the same process, which I think is very beneficial to learn about using GMS. Okay, so let's move on to the next slide number 24. Now that the bindings file is created, we can proceed with configuring our WPG objects. That is, we will create a GMS receiver and a GMS destination. In the configuration panels of these two objects, we will be referencing the location of the binding file, which holds all the necessary information for the WPG objects to communicate with the WebSphere MQ Queue Manager. And let's move to the next slide number 25. Okay, here let's take a closer look at specifics of the WPG objects configuration, starting with the GMS destination. So we have the address attribute, which now points to the bindings file location, whereas if you remember in the WAS configuration was pointing to a composite CORBA IIoP address, and then we need to provide the values for the other attributes. such as the JMS factory name, the destination QNAME, the JNDI factory name, and then, of course, the desired JMS message class and type. Okay, so we can move on to the next slide, slide number 26. This is the screenshot of what we described earlier. So it is showing the actual JMS destination configuration panel with the fields, the attribute fields that have been updated in yellow. So you can, you know, will be easy to reference if you want to do the same on your end. And let's move on to the next slide, slide number 27. And just as we saw earlier for the destination, the same configuration considerations are valid for the receiver, which includes pretty much the attributes, the address attribute to point to the bindings file location, the JMS factory name, the receiver QNAME, and the JNDI factory name, as well as the JMS message class and the message type values. So we can move on to the next slide, slide number 28. And here is the screenshot of the JMS receiver as it is shown in the WPG console. Again, in yellow are the fields that have been modified for your convenience. We can move on to the next slide, slide number 29. As a last item, we can run the same test for this configuration as we did for the, for the configuration we made when WAS was the JNDI provider. So we need to create the necessary artifacts here as well, which are basically the same as we saw in the previous example. That is, we'll be creating a connection between two trading partners. That is a non-EDI X12 ISA channel for both directions. Then you will be selecting the destination configured to use the bindings file. Then we have to submit the EDI file in the receiver JMS queues using the RFH util tool. And then you can observe the transaction results and verify that the file has actually been delivered to the intended destination queue. And the WPG console viewer can be used to monitor the transaction that you run. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 30. In this last slide of the test, we have a summary of what we did with the actual screenshots. The top picture shows non-EDI X12 ISA connection. Then in the second picture, we have the JMS destination selection. The third picture shows the RFH util tool that we use to submit the EDI file to the receiver queue. That you can see that there are two images. Basically, you can see the file submission to the receiver in the left image, the third picture left image, and then the EDI file delivered to the destination queue. It is shown in the third row right image, basically. The bottom picture shows the WPG console viewer reporting the transaction successful completion. Again, you can reference the actual screenshot to do exactly the same. Okay, and that completes it. So we can move on to the next slide, slide number 31. And here there are, the chart basically includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. You can visit the WebSphere support technical exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere support technical exchange webcasts, like the one that you attended today. And you can also access previously recorded presentations. Then the Developer Works offers in-depth technical information, and you can visit the WebSphereUserGroup.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. Then we have the SR tool, which is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages, which lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you.
Thank you, Max, for a wonderful presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And I have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.